So here we go, Mark. Here's another bit of extra quality product for all our Vanguardistas.
Excellent.
Also, because we're going to do Mark and Simon Spoil Everything and talk about Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah.
Plus also, for the really hardcore, this exclusive information.
Okay.
People are thinking, you know, I'm subscribing, but what do I get?
What do
you
What
do I get? Yeah. I mean, clearly, I think that the answer is you know, it's very clear by now. You also get this information as an exclusive. This is my last recording for this podcast and not being a grandfather. Because I just got a message saying baby's on the way, induced on Friday. Well, so it's not on the way. So it'll be induced on Friday. And child one says, tell Mark it's his fault for having a sleepover.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
So by the time we reconvene...
Old grandfather Mayo.
Yes. And guaranteed, Jack, the man next door, Simon Poole, the redactor-in-chief, will have lined up Clive Dunn, okay? And I don't want to have anything to do with that ageist stereotyping of senior citizens. Thank you very much.
I'd be sitting here thinking...
And am I right in saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that when Clive Dunn was doing... granddad and all the rest of it. He was actually fairly young. He was nothing like as old as...
He was like 26 or something. No, he was in his 40s or something.
Yeah, he was in his 40s. The other great example of that is Max von Sydow in Exorcist, who everyone imagines was, you know, ancient when he did Exorcist. He wasn't at all. He has more facial prosthetics to age him up than Linda Blair has to play the demonically possessed Reagan.
Wow, that is incredible. Yeah. Also, the womb name is Obi. So,
one Kenobi.
As in Obi-Wan, yes.
Very good.
So, I'm just wondering if womb names ever stick.
I'd never heard that term before. Never heard that
term. Child 3's womb name was Sub-Zero.
Because?
Because there was a cartoon character around at the time called Sub-Zero. So, he was actually... And then when he was born, Child 2 actually referred to him as Subby a lot.
The thing you come here is bump, isn't it? You know, because it's the bump is the, what, you know...
So I'm going to have a busy weekend.
You are going to have a busy weekend. You better get some Wine 52 in to see you through. I'm sure they do a celebratory... Wine 52, if you're listening, celebratory box.
Is there a sparkly box?
I'm sure there is.
I don't want a red or a white or even a rosé.
Yeah.
I want a sparkly box.
And you might want to send some my way as well, because I'll obviously be celebrating along with you.
That's right. Anyway, so that's an exclusive bit of information there for the Vanguardistas. On the subject of spoiling movies, we talk about Jurassic World Dominion. I mean, to be honest, there's not a lot to spoil.
There's not a lot to spoil because the surprises are thin on the ground.
That's right. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to know what happens, then this clearly is not the part of the podcast for you.
Although, can I say, you've seen the other Jurassic Parks?
That. Yes. But clearly filmed in such a style as to say there won't be any more.
Well,
I think so.
You remember that table that they walked past? You ever wondered where that table came from?
Now, that's Lightyear.
Yes, but it's the same principle. Okay.
Steve says, legacy listener, third time emailer, listening last week to you discussing whether or not Dr. Ian Malcolm dies in the original book of Jurassic Park has compelled me to email. I'm currently rereading The Lost World after being inspired to reread Jurassic Park last week upon seeing a tweet proclaiming that it was the anniversary of Dennis Nedry striking his deal to steal embryos from Isla Nublar.
Yeah, because incidentally... I'll get to this when we get to the thing, when we do the spoiler. Carry on.
Okay. At the end of Jurassic Park, it is heavily implied that Malcolm is dead. Because in the interview with Jeff
Goldblum...
It is
implied, yes.
Yeah, and I said...
That's what I said, yeah.
His character doesn't make it out. And you said, no, he's still alive. Because I haven't read the... So basically, we're both right.
But anyway, we are right. Yes, exactly.
It is heavily implied that Malcolm is dead. See attached photographs 1 and 2. So the text goes, what about Malcolm? Grant said. Muldoon shook his head. Under the circumstances, the government was not disposed to release survivors in a hurry. They did not even permit the burial of Hammond or Ian Malcolm. And you only kind of bury people when they're dead.
Wow.
They simply waited. So that's in the text. What is interesting, says Steve, is that Crichton resurrects Malcolm in, this is what you said last week, in the first few pages of The Lost World, and he's providing a lecture at the Santa Fe Institute. Dr. Malcolm appears to be a huge fan of The Princess Bride when he quips, I was sorry to cut short the celebrations in the mathematics department around the country, but it turned out I was only slightly dead.
Very good.
So this is what he says.
Very good.
My view is that this is definitely cheating on a, Sheldon scale.
That is why I said he didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car. And if just for anyone who didn't get that reference, that's Kathy Bates in Misery complaining about how much she hates it when a serial ends with something happening, and then they pick it up the next episode, and oh, he got out of the car. He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car, and it's her complaining about people rewriting.
But what's interesting is that normally it's the screenplay which has done that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Clearly, Michael Crichton thought, I've killed off the best character.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to
bring him back.
I'm going to have to bring him back.
Because he's going to end up being played by Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
There we are. So the fascinating thing is, both right, and that was exactly the point. That's why I said in the dying mode, I did not know that there's reference him being buried, which I have to say, frankly, Michael Crichton, I know, no longer able to hear this particular criticism, but if you use the word buried...
Yes, so John Hammond, played by Richard Attenborough, so he's definitely dead. The government of Costa Rica felt it had been misled and deceived by John Hammond and his plans for the island. Under the circumstances, the government was not disposed to release survivors in a hurry. They did not even permit the burial of Hammond or Ian Malcolm. They simply waited. In other words, he's very dead.
He's brown bread.
He is, definitely. This one from Dylan, I think it is. Medium term, sporadic, shamefully inconsistent listener, first time emailer. It was a glorious summer day on Sunday, so of course my partner and I decided to sit inside in the dark and went to see Jurassic World Dominion. My expectations were pretty low after the turgid and convoluted Fallen Kingdom, but I was heartened to see so many parents there with their excitable kids in the 2 p.m. showing. Yes, the main cast of these sequels are totally forgettable. Yes, the plotting is frequently unintelligible, but Dominion at least succeeded in unearthing new dinosaurs without resorting to making them up in-universe and putting them in sufficiently scary situations. One moment had me almost falling out of my seat in terror to the amusement of a young cinema goer nearby. I think it helps that I've not taken these films seriously since watching Jurassic Park 3 as a child. Chris Pratt doing that same gesture at any dinosaur and for it some reason is working remains nonsensical. The excellent Jeff Goldblum treated his lines with the derision they deserved as the science and internal logic became more and more absurd. Am I a sucker for enjoying this film? Almost certainly. Did I enjoy it nonetheless? Absolutely. P.S. Will we get Mark's thoughts on The Boys, the new series airing on Amazon Prime?
I suppose we might do if I'm asked to go that way.
Jill says, dear not a doctor of paleontology and not a doctor of chaos theory, I've just got back from our local Cineplex with our 8-year-old Ukrainian house guest. Oh, okay, so we're tying in another one of our themes. While the latest installment of the Jurassic series might not be particularly original, this fact makes it a perfect viewing choice for a child who does not have English as their first language.
Okay.
His familiarity with the previous movies meant he could follow the action pretty well all the way through. He was appropriately frightened, but not too much, and seems to have learnt enough English already to giggle at the mild swearing and rude hand gestures.
Yes, which is, incidentally, I think flagged up by the BBFC.
Oh, is it? Okay, very good. So for anyone still thinking what to watch with their guests, I would say give their parents a night off and take your new young friends to watch Jurassic World Dominion. Thanks for a great show. Well, that's very good. And I genuinely hadn't thought of that. Of course, you have instant familiarity with everything.
Yeah.
It's following a similar structure. So you kind of know enough, even if you can't understand the language.
Exactly.
Black Peter 70 via our YouTube channel. I feel a bit sorry for the folks who weren't around to see the first Spielberg film in 1993. That experience was so exciting, like Star Wars, old Star Wars. It was like that. I feel the current audience is being shortchanged, not only by the studios, but by the artists involved. Kevin says, I definitely agree that this film often felt like a stone's throw from a recent Fast and Furious film, but somehow I still had a decent time, although I enjoyed the stupidity of F9 enough. After absolutely hating the previous film, it was ungodly boring and full of nothing. It may have been a TV show episode to set up this movie. This film at least felt like things happened, even if they were very silly. It was ultimately the kind of dumb fun I can enjoy. Is it the blockbuster meets art that Spielberg made his name on? Oh, heavens no.
Oh, heavens no.
Oh, heavens no.
Oh, heavens no.
Heavens no. But I could at least enjoy this one, and the crowd I saw it in at the IMAX made it even better.
Yeah.
And Mark is spot on. Goldblum moments are the most pure delight the movie has. I think a lot of my enjoyment came from seeing the likes of Dern and Neil run around this silly dino movie too. I've come to love so many of their non-Jurassic Park films since seeing that original film all those years ago. I do think they must have run their entire repertoire of reaction shots.
That's right.
What am I doing here? There's a tall one.
Looks scared. Yeah.
Thanks very much for that. Philip Collier. Patricia in County Down. Where are the dinosaurs?
Well,
how to mess up a fantastic concept.
There are lots of dinosaurs.
A planet ruled by dinosaurs. So where are they? We get news reports, we see the chaos, but they take too much of a backseat to the boring human plot. And they fluffed up the reunion of Ellie, Alan and Ian. Trevorrow is no Spielberg. Well, I'll have to say, you can criticise it for a lot of things. It's not for the absence of dinosaurs.
There's a lot of dinosaurs in it. Can I tell you, because this is a non-time specific thing, okay? On the subject of absence of dinosaurs, a friend of mine, filmmaker, he was offered Carnosaur, which is the Roger Corman movie, Carnosaur, which was basically Roger Corman in response to Jurassic Park decides to make Carnosaur. And guy said, originally, he said to me, he said he didn't want to do it. And then he went home to his wife and said, I've been offered Carnosaur. I don't want to see Adam Simon. He said, I don't want to do it. He said, look, if you don't do it, you'll end up making Carnosaur 2. So he said, all right, I'll do it then. And Roger Corman said, here's the thing, it's a dinosaur movie, here's the budget. And he went, well, that budget's never going to make dinosaurs. And Roger Corman said, this is the deal, 90 minutes long, needs to have a dinosaur in it, that's the budget. You know, don't argue about it. So Adam Simon went away and made the movie. And he came back and he showed it to Roger Corman. And Roger Corman sat and he watched the whole movie. And Roger Corman goes, where's the dinosaur? And Adam Simon goes, exactly. And then Roger Corman then has to stump up the money to pay for the dinosaur. That's a dinosaur movie that doesn't have dinosaurs in it.
Very good. But I think there's clearly that speech at the end, sort of to camera, which is sort of saying we need to all live together.
Yes,
and buy
little
the world
people, why can't we all just get
buy
along?
Buy the world a Coke and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And aren't we all the same? Underneath,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you would only do that in the end of the franchise, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. My suspicion is that the franchise isn't ended, that actually, you know, more stuff is going to go on. But I only say that because anything that makes the kind of money that this is making carries on.
Well, my suggestion would be then that if it does come back, they'll start again with a completely new cast, still have some dinosaur action, but no Sam Neill, no Laura Dern, no Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, my suggestion would be make another Carnosaur movie.
Okay.
They're a lot cheaper.
Well, now, we're almost at the end of this reel of tape.
Yeah.
And we're running at 15 IPS, but I can see that you still have something else to spoil.
Here's the thing that I was going to put, and everybody will know this other than me. Did you realise immediately that when the thing happens, which is the guy who's in charge of Biosyn,
yes,
okay, is Dodgson, yeah, who is a character who appears in the first Jurassic Park film, who gets sold, the person to whom the sample is being sold.
I didn't know that.
And played by a different actor, since the actor who acted Dodgson in the first movie subsequently has gone to prison. But the connection was meant to be, I read things afterwards saying, you know, Jurassic Park fans will, of course, immediately recognise the name. And I didn't recognise the name. You didn't either?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, well, there we go.
And I read the book. But I mean, I read the book and saw that for such a long time ago, and I never treated it as holy scripture.
No. Okay, but I'm just saying that the character of Lewis Dodgson and everyone who's a Jurassic Park, yes, Kermode, how did you not notice that? Is in the first movie as the person who is buying the stealing stuff.
Because you haven't seen that for a long time.
For a long, since 19, however long ago it was. And now, so when he comes back again, now played by Campbell Scott, because
of extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, that you're meant to go, oh, that's that. So it's a callback to the original film, which I hadn't.
But so clearly, the more you know, the more interesting it is.
Yeah, it's not that much more interesting because it is, in the end, it is a Jurassic. The plot is exactly the same, which is a bunch of dinosaurs. Somebody says, oh, I can do stuff with the dinosaurs, but don't worry, it's all safe. Guess what?
It's not.
Not safe.
It then continues to be unsafe for the rest of the movie until our heroes make it safe.
But even at the end, it isn't really safe. At the end, it's like we must all live together. And there is also the thing, and I'm sorry, this is the most on the subject of spoiling it. What on earth is Jeff Goldblum's job?
He is a lecturer at Biosyn, basically spends the whole time
telling them it's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
He is employed by that company to go, this is a disaster, this is a disaster, this is a disaster, this is a disaster. And then he betrays the company and they're surprised. You go, you literally employed him to tell everyone that this is going... That's what he does. That's what Jeff Goldblum does in Jurassic Park movies. He goes, this is... very, you know, your scientists were so busy. When they would, they never stopped thinking they should.
And he should be dead anyway.
He should be. Yeah, that's probably what happened, right? The reason that the government of wherever it was didn't agree to bury him was he wasn't dead yet.
Oh, I see.
Not dead yet. Not dead yet from Spamalot.
Okay.
There's a song from Spamalot called Not Dead Yet.
Sanjeev probably knows it word for word.
Sanjeev would be able to do a fantastic version. Anyway, so that's the plot is exactly the same and it does exactly the same thing. And Lewis Dodgson, sorry, I didn't notice that. The reason I didn't bring it up in my review is I hadn't even realised.
Also, who cares? That's the end of our extra piece. Look, the tape is spooling out.